Good morning on this fine Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. I'm tired today. How about you guys? Anybody? Get up early for a meeting this morning. Not really early, but early for me. I'm pretty lazy. I'm just kind of laying around, then roll out of bed, then run downstairs, get online and start working. That's kind of how it starts for me each and every day for this, at this point. That might all change real soon. We'll see. Man, I've forgotten that there's all kinds of hoops you have to jump through when you're getting a new job. So there's references, drug test. Who the hell drug tests anymore? What drugs are you checking for? Isn't marijuana legal everywhere now? Not that I do any drugs other than the medications that I'm prescribed, but I have to go somewhere and do a drug test. So that's kind of, I'm so lazy. It's just such an inconvenience for me. And man, trying to find references that I don't work with now because I have not expressed my desires and intentions yet to my current place of employment that I may or may not be leaving. I can't use any of them as references, any of the people that I know there, for fear of leakage. So kind of digging up some old references. Hopefully that they respond and give me a reference. That'd be cool. Anyway, so I got a bunch of stuff going on this morning, but I don't know if you guys are like this, but this is how I am. Like every minute for me that I'm not doing something productive feels like waste. It feels like a waste. So I'm sitting here, I've got like 15 minutes before a meeting starts. So this podcast will be fragmented to some degree in that sense, but I can't just sit here and do nothing for 15 minutes. It makes me feel like I'm wasting that 15 minutes where I could be doing something productive, namely this podcast right now. So anybody else struggle with that? Like the inability to just do nothing? I have a real problem with that. Like it's very difficult for me to not be engaged actively in doing something. And I wonder if that's part of my problem is like, I always feel like, I gotta be doing something. I gotta be moving the needle forward. I gotta be kind of pushing ahead, forging ahead in some way. Otherwise I'm not worthy of any of the potential success or achievements that may be on the horizon because I'm not trying hard enough. And I'm not saying that that takes any of the joy out of it because I mean, that's just who I am. I guess that's what I like to do, but it can get a little tiring inadvertently. Like I don't feel tired because of it and I'm not dreading it because as I've said yesterday, I really enjoy doing this. I love talking on the mic and then listening back to what I've said and trying to kind of dissect it and figure out what the hell is going on in my head. But yeah, I wonder if part of my problem is I can't ever really take a break. Like I'm more concerned about not working from home anymore because it's going to interfere with all of the other things that I do that are afforded to me because I work from home. Like, for example, this podcast, I don't want it to fall down because I'm not here every morning at, 7 o'clock in the morning to do this because I'll be driving to work at 7 o'clock in the morning in a short period of time, potentially if all of these things come together and everything works out. So that's kind of a huge distraction and a potential like, I might not actually do this because it's going to interfere with things that I find important, but unfortunately are not important from a financial perspective. I don't know if you know this about podcasting, but this is true of any kind of social media thing, and I'll get into TikTok in a minute, but you have to have tens of thousands of followers for any of this stuff to be meaningful financially in your life. So if you're just starting out doing podcasts, everybody has to start out with nothing. That's just the way it goes. And then ultimately you grow a following based on the content and the things that you provide in your your performance or your whatever you're doing, whether it's music or podcasting or videos or whatever it is. And then you reach a certain point where it, you know, it actually makes an actual income that's meaningful. Not like, you know, 3 cents a stream or something like that, which isn't bad. I mean, but you still need tens and thousands of streams a day for that to mean anything, right? I mean, just simple math. If I had 10,000 streams a day and this thing pays out at 3 cents a stream, that's $300 a day. So, I mean, that's not horrible, I guess, but you know, that's, you know, like, I guess if you did that every single day, that would be pretty good. Oop, alarm. Time to get up. You hear that? See, I do have an alarm just in case I don't get up. but yeah, I mean, if you could make $300 a day, 365 days a year, that's pretty good, right? I mean, that's, what is that? That's over $100,000, right? Something like that. Yeah, it's a six-figure income. So hopefully I can get to 10,000 followers at some point and everybody listens to my podcast at least one time, once a day. But that's the thing, is that you have to have this, it's got to happen every day. So just because you have 10,000 followers doesn't mean they're going to listen to something every day. So you really need probably closer to 50,000 followers to get the yield of 10,000 followers or 10,000 streams every day. It's one of those weird matrices where none of it really makes any sense to me, but you have to have significantly more than what you calculate based against or do your analytics on, because not everybody's going to listen to your stuff every day, right? I mean, I can't expect that the 20 or so followers that I have, whatever it is at this point, that follow this podcast, myself included, you know, even I don't listen to this stuff every day. You know, I'll listen to the new episode and then once in a while I'll go back and listen to some older ones, but I don't listen to this every single day. So it's pretty unrealistic to think that anyone else would. Hence the numbers, you know, you have to have huge numbers. And that was what I wanted to mention about TikTok, is that for all you that use TikTok, you know, again, this is a monologue, so nobody's going to reply to this, but it would be so cool to know from, and I've asked some people that are, you know, wildly successful on TikTok, and I have, of course, not heard back from anyone, because why would anyone respond? You know, I mean, that's just too human these days. Why would you actually respond to somebody that's left a comment? But, you know, I wonder, outside from ad placement type payments where, you know, you like say, hey, go check this out, and you know, people check it out and you get paid for that. How do you make money on TikTok based on these massive followings? Does TikTok actually pay you? I guess I should look this up. I think that's interesting because I have, I think, 63 followers on TikTok. But I did have one post the other day hit almost 2,000 views. So, I mean, I guess it's possible to have a lot of views without a lot of followers, just like on Spotify, where I have, you know, millions and millions of streams, but I only have like 900 and some odd people that follow me. And, you know, thanks for all of you that do. If you haven't checked out the music thing, you know, that's a great thing. But I guess my point is, like, how do you actually make money on these platforms? Does anyone know? I mean, I would love to, I guess I'll try to look it up and, you know, like understand how, if you have 100,000 followers on TikTok, how that actually pays you. But I don't know that. So that platform to me is kind of a mystery. Like, it seems like you just go on there and say or do anything, and it's, that is qualified as content, whether it's well done or poorly done, it doesn't make any difference. I've seen posts that have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views, and they're just, I don't even know what they mean. They have no point, no purpose, no message, no tutorial, no nothing. And they have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of plays. And then I'll see things that are meaningful that have like none. It's like, what? I mean, I have to self, you know, I'm self-admittedly, I have no idea how any of that modern stuff works at all. It eludes me in every possible way. I see like posts for affiliate marketing and all this. I mean, what is all of this stuff that people are doing where they're claiming to make $5,000-$6,000 a month just posting links to their affiliate marketing page on Amazon? I mean, I don't even know what that is. you guys have any idea what that is? If anybody out there is an affiliate marketer for Amazon or for any of these, whatever these, you know, because I'm over 18, I guess I can do Amazon. If you have any insight into that, man, I would love to know what the heck that's all about. But I'm dumb as a rock in some of these things. Like somebody would literally have to show me how to do it. I'm not able, and that's why YouTube is such a good friend for me. Like I need to watch people do things the first time or two to really get it and go, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Sometimes for me, just reading something isn't enough. I need to get my hands, I'm one of those hands-on kind of people. Maybe that's another right brain thing, I don't know. But I'm not someone that can read literature or read documentation and be like, oh, ta-da, light bulb in my head. I fully understand how to do that and off I go writing Python. I need to watch somebody do it and show me how to do it, being honest, definitely more than once. And that's just who I am as a person. I mean, I don't learn things. In some things I do. Unfortunately, I'm skilled in things that are very difficult to make money in. Like, right, for music, I'm really good. I can play like 20 different instruments. You know, I can do all this stuff, but it's who gives a shit? Unless I'm a music teacher and have my teaching certificate and have had gone to school to become a teacher, what is the commodity of that? There isn't one. Nobody gives a crap that I can play trumpet and guitar and piano and flugelhorn and cornet and trombone and baritone and who gives a shit? what is that going to do for me? Right? I mean, nothing. You know, that's so I have a lot of, I'm filled with skills that have no real value, unfortunately, or they have criteria that you need to have fulfilled to be able to use them for the value that they bring to the table, where I can't just go be a teacher somewhere, right? Because I'm not certified and I don't have a degree. So I can't, that's one of those jobs where you have to have those things or you can't do it. So unfortunately, I screwed the pooch on that and thought there was no value in that. And then as I look back at this point in my life, I'm like, wow, it really would have been pretty cool to be a band teacher. You know, I always used to knock my band director and think that he somehow was a failed musician and chose to be a teacher. And I think that, you know, sorry, Mr. Richter, I was wrong. I feel, you know, I mean, he and I never spoke about this at all. We didn't have a very good relationship. Probably because I was a total douchebag as a kid, but I saw things very differently. But I always looked at it as like, this guy's an awesome horn player. You know, he's a wonderful instrumentalist. He's had a beautiful sound. He was really talented. Kind of a little bit of an elitist douchebag. I mean, but you know, hey, he deserved it. He went to a good school and, you know, he knew all these things and probably working with a bunch of dipshit kids like me who don't take it seriously, but have talent that they're squandering away is extremely frustrating. So I can imagine he probably was like, man, you're such a dick. What are you doing? You're totally wasting it. Or maybe he just thought that I was not very talented, but I was going through the motions and just wasting his time. But either way, I look back at that now when I'm in my late 40s and I'm like, wow, that would have actually been a really cool job. So I kind of missed the boat there. And I guess the moral of that story is, you know, never discount things that you don't fully understand because you don't fully understand them. You know, it's hard. It's always been hard for me to figure out what it is that I wanted to do in life. It's never been this simple, oh yeah, this is what it's going to be. The only thing that's ever really called to me like that was music. And it called to me in a way that was overshadowed or overcast by this bullshit of fame and fortune and money and popularity and all this crap that's it really has nothing to do with music itself. And I got away from the purity of it, and I made a lot of bad decisions that took me away from what may have been a very rewarding circumstance and outcome for me, in that I could have been a teacher at a school and my whole job would have been to play instruments. And again, it's funny because I've gone full circle now where basically the thing that I play the most is the trumpet or the flugelhorn now. And that's, you know, obviously what I started out as a little kid playing the trumpet. So interesting how things come full circle. And, you know, I guess the message of this moment, you know, in this segment of the podcast is, you know, don't discount the things that you're doing and try to make them into something that they're not. Sometimes in their purest form, they are everything that you've ever wanted, and you're just, for some reason, not able to see it clearly. And I think that's definitely what happened to me in this case, is that I discounted it, thinking, oh, it's not cool. It's not what I want to do. It's not this. I want to be a pop star. I want to sing. I want to do all this crap. And then, you know, 30 years later, I come back and all I want to do is play my flugelhorns and trumpets now. And I've been doing that for the last couple of years through the lo-fi beat scene, because that's the kind of jazz and stuff that I dig. And that's the stuff I can make on my own in my own recording studio. I don't have a jazz band, but yeah, I don't know. I think that's an interesting topic. And, yeah, so careful what you, seek to achieve, because you might actually have the answer and just look right past it. Anyone ever feel giddy when you can leave a meeting and hang up a phone? You hear that in my voice? Ah, fucking clowns, man. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm not sitting on a 4-hour meeting. That's ridiculous. That's the biggest waste of time. That's one of the things that they do at this place that I currently work is, oh God, do they waste time? I mean, it's just monumental stupidity in that sense. So much time is spent doing things that are just either not productive or counterproductive just for the sake of saying that you did them, rather than actually digging in and really getting into what it is you're trying to learn and do. Oh God. And then, you know, like, I guess it would be to simplify, it would be a working session rather than a talking session. So to sit in a meeting and listen to someone just shoot jargon at me for 4 hours and achieve nothing other than having heard what they've said, which is for the most part, complete horseshit, and things we can't do because we're not being honest with what we're actually capable of doing. And we want to sound good and not be embarrassed by the fact that we're trying to do something that we have no staff, no expertise, no nothing behind, no direction, no planning. So we'd rather do that than actually speak the truth and say, hey, yeah, we're at ground zero here. Have no idea what we're doing. And let's actively do this in a working session, not just in a listening session. I don't know. I guess my definition of what that is probably different and malaligned, which is, again, why I don't belong here. But, you know, my part comes 3.5 hours from now, so I'm not going to sit there for 3.5 hours and listen to all this other shit that has nothing to do with anything that I do. I don't give a crap what they're doing. They can do whatever they want. That's not my business. Not anymore, anyway. I don't have to worry about that stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Short break there. But yeah, I'm back. So cool. Yeehaw. So what else should we talk about today? Let's see. So I'm going to be real ignorant here for a second because I'm sure everyone else has seen this as well. But all of this, you know, the horrible circumstance in Afghanistan, I'm a little confused by that. And I don't really, you know, and I guess I'm just uneducated on this whole topic. So I don't really understand what the plan was, but from what I understand or from what, you know, what I know or have read or watched, we've been over there for like, you know, 20 years since 2011, fighting the war on terror or whatever they wanted to call it when we were looking for Osama bin Laden. And, you know, we've had our troops on the ground for a long time trying to, I guess, in the most positive way I can say, help the country by establishing some kind of democratic policy over there. Now, I don't for a minute believe that's what we were actually trying to do over there. I'm sure there was some ulterior motive, but let's just, for the sake of argument, say that's what we are doing over there. And if I recall, you know, just thinking back over the last 20 years, I don't recall that being a very popular thing. Like that country didn't really want us in their country. And I can understand that. I mean, I wouldn't want some foreign country in this country trying to tell me how to live my life, not understanding my religion and my practices and my ways and my culture and things like that, and potentially not even speaking the language. That might be kind of, you know, I just watched a movie called Ip Man the other day, and it was very much, it was about the Japanese and Chinese war that took place, you know, a long time ago. I'm not a history buff, so sorry, I don't know when, but it was based on a true story. Ip Man was a real guy. in China. He was a kung fu master, taught Bruce Lee all that stuff later in life. But anyway, it was very disconcerting to see the Japanese come into China and just ravage the country. And I don't think that's what we did. I think we were legitimately trying to help and help these people get on a better path. But who are we to decide what's a better path for some other culture that's been around for, eons, much longer than we have, and we're going to come in and say, well, hey, we're going to do it better and you're going to follow this. And I can't imagine that really sat very well with people. I think that the basic citizens over there were just kind of stuck. What are they going to do? There's either the Taliban or the United States government over there kind of trying to impose its will. And I guess they're not really, it would appear that other than the Taliban, they're not a very aggressive and assertive and fighting kind of people, because apparently we've spent trillions of dollars and all this time, and they have 300,000-400,000 soldiers and all of them just quit. And I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's just, at what point were we going to realize this wasn't going to work out? I mean, what a tragedy. It's so sad to see. I mean, and I know they're arguing right now. Everybody's arguing about Trump and Biden and whose fault it is and Pompeo and all these people that were involved in it, because we were supposed to, I guess, be out at some point in May of this year, not now. So it was kind of deferred a little bit, but Biden went ahead with whatever Trump was going to do. And now we watched people jumping off of and falling off of aircraft trying to leave. So I guess my question is, if they weren't willing to fight for their country, why are they trying to leave? I don't quite understand that approach. So you didn't want to fight for what was right. You had far outnumbered the Taliban in terms of the soldier count. You had the aid of America for 20 years. And yet, as soon as we pull out, everybody just leaves. All the government left, the existing government that was there bailed out, and all the military laid their arms down and just let the Taliban come in and take over. Now, I don't care personally. I mean, if that's what they want, that's what they want. That's fine. But it seems odd that we would be over there trying to fix something or trying to help someone or a people. And after 20 years, this is what happens in like a month. I mean, that's pretty bad. So I guess that's kind of disastrous. Now, I don't know what the ramifications or the implications to the United States are for real, because Afghanistan is now run by the Taliban. I don't know, but I can't imagine that if Osama bin Laden was at one point, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, I could be completely wrong, was either a member or the leader of the Taliban and is claimed to have been responsible for 9/11, or potentially he claimed that himself, I don't remember. That's probably not a very good thing. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted us out of their country and now everything will just, be what it is over there. And kind of on the fence on that whole thing. Like, I don't think that it's our place to go in to another country and impose our will and our way of doing things on anyone else unless they actually want that. But it doesn't seem that anyone actually wants that from us as a country. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I'm no historian. I'm not into politics, any of that stuff, but just something that was in the news that seemed fairly tragic, watching people fall out of airplanes. Now, of course, who knows what's really going on there. They're not really showing you anything but these devastating scenarios for whatever reason the news feels, that's the important thing to show you, I guess, because, idiots like me are going to watch it, But yeah, I also wondered what people were thinking sitting on the wheel well of the airplane. I mean, didn't they realize that once that thing took off, the wheel doors were going to shut and there would be nowhere to hang on to? And second of all, airplanes are flying at somewhere between 350 and 650 miles an hour, even regular cargo planes like that. So there's no way in hell you're hanging on to that thing once it's up in the air. Kind of strange. That was a weird, that was a very disturbing scenario to watch play out on news. I don't know. Any thoughts on that? I don't know if, I have no idea what that means in the greater scheme of things in our lives, but very disappointing, very sad. And my condolences go out to everyone in Afghanistan that doesn't want to be there, unfortunately, in their own country, that I can't imagine what that must feel like to not want to be in your own country and not have any options but to be in your own country. I mean, it really made me think. It's like, you know, I have two daughters, so I think my son and I would be fine. I mean, if we had to join the military and be fighters, then I guess that's what we would be. But, you know, I don't believe that women have equal rights over there. So that would be really terrifying if you had a family, and, or if you were a woman in that country, your future is pretty scary at this point. I can well imagine. So that's really disappointing that we would not treat all human beings with equality, no matter where you are in the world. And I don't care what your religious beliefs are, but I do believe that all people should be treated with respect, dignity, and equality. So that's a really disappointing thing to have to watch in 2021, something as archaic as that kind of a takeover. And then people just, I guess, committing suicide rather than dealing with the problem at hand and trying to make the best of it or trying to do something. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing that could be done. But wow, it seems as if an awful lot of people were trying to get out of that country in one fall swoop there. So I can't imagine that staying there is going to be a great thing. But, you know, again, I don't know. What do I know? I don't know anything about international politics or international policies or anything like that. So all I know is that I feel as if the information that I've seen, no one in that country really wanted America there or Americans there. And Americans felt that way. So they wanted to get out as well, because you know, I would imagine, just like as if you were here, if you're giving somebody assistance and they don't want it, then eventually you're going to be like, okay, well, I guess I'm just not going to want to help you anymore. So that's fine. I'll just leave and you can do this on your own. So I can imagine, imagine that our troops probably didn't want to be there anymore. And the futility of it and the squandering of what seems to be an inordinate amount of money that we were spending over there is just absurd. You know, and of course that's tax dollars that I'm contributing to as a functional worker in society over here. Maybe we ought to just kind of stick to our own thing. Now, again, I don't know international policy. I don't know what we're doing, what we're trying to do, if it's necessary to be in these countries to establish dominance and keep everyone at bay. And, you know, that somehow enables us to be free and keep things good over here in our country. But I would argue that right now our country is pretty fucked up as well. And we need to, maybe not to the extent that Afghanistan is, but, you know, there's some really disturbing things that are going on here. And I can only imagine it's going to get worse as soon as more mandates come out and you have to do this. I mean, now, you know, I've been vaccinated. I've said this before, I'm very much on the fence with having done that because I felt like it was the right thing to do. But because we still haven't come forward with information that says it's good, bad, or otherwise, you know, I had no effects from the vaccine. My son didn't, nor did my wife, it would appear. Although my wife has been complaining a lot about her inability to breathe when she goes out and runs, and she's a big runner. So something's going on with her respiratory system that we're checking into now. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the vaccine or it's just we're getting older and that's just the way it goes. But I myself, at this point, knock on wood, have not had any, I mean, even the second shot, I had the Moderna shot. So even the second, I didn't even feel the shot. I had no symptoms. No, I didn't, I legitimately wondered in my mind, I'm like, I wonder if they gave me a placebo because the first shot, my arm was pretty sore. I mean, more sore than the flu shot, that's for sure. And I felt pretty run down and tired the first day, but then nothing, you know, I was fine after that. My arm took a few days to not be sore, but other than that, that's all I had was a sore arm. And then, with the second shot about a month or so later, whenever that next round was given, I felt nothing. Like the shot didn't hurt. My arm wasn't sore. I wasn't tired. I had zero side effects from that second dose. So I don't know if that was a lesser dose. I don't know if it was nothing. I mean, who knows? But I had no symptoms at all. No side effects at all. Knock on wood again for that. So far, same with my son. And, you know, even my wife, she got the shot a couple months before us being a frontline worker. So But she didn't really have any kind of results or any kind of issues with it either. Now, as far as long-term stuff goes, I mean, who knows what that means? Do I have swelling on the brain, swelling on the heart? I mean, ironically, I had to go get an MRI of my brain because I'm going through psychiatry and they wanted to take a look and make sure there wasn't anything in my brain mass-wise or any kind of growths or something like that that was causing any of the problems that I'm experiencing from an anxiety and a bipolar perspective. But I think that's just routine. But I mean, it would reveal if I had anything going on, any swelling or anything like that, it would show up on an MRI. So I guess I'll find that out in September. But I would well imagine that there's nothing, because typically in my experience, when you have something wrong, when they do a scan, they call you pretty quick and say, hey, man, hey, we found something. So this was, at least a month ago. I haven't heard from anybody at all. So I would, at this point, imagine that the scan was fine and I don't have anything going on in my brain other than stupidity. And, other than what's supposed to be up there or whatever you would see with an MRI of your cranium. I don't know, man. This whole, our whole world is just, man, I'm at a loss. I mean, I'm trying to be positive. I mean, it's what a shitty time that I pick to try to change my outlook and my purview of the whole world and my own life and try to be positive and get out of this funk that I'm in. I mean, there's every challenge and hurdle that you can imagine in front of you right now if you're trying to do this type of a thing. I mean, the world itself appears to be going through something fairly massive right now. I mean, I am so tired of reading conspiracy theories and seeing all these posts about, oh, Walmarts are shutting down and there's all these plastic coffins. I'm like, God almighty, what is going on? What are we selling here in this country that we got to get to this point and we got to have these kind of discussions to get people to pay attention to news? I mean, or is it really happening? You know, I mean, what is really going on? It would be so nice. And I've said this countless times, it would be so nice to have a single source of truth. And I mean that in the most pure sense of how I could say that, in meaning that I don't want a single source that's just going to lie and perpetuate the lies. Because I went through that once before in an episode where it was like, well, you know, everybody used to report the same news. It's like, well, yeah, but that same news could have all been lies. Everybody was just telling the same lie. So yeah, there was consistency, but it was all lies. Now it's like, well, you're getting truth, lies, and everything in between from 1,000 different sources. And it's like, you know, everybody's stories are different. They're completely different. They're subtly different. It's so difficult to discern what the hell is actually going on at this point. So I would say that, you know, the misinformation is just running rampant because of this, the delivery mechanisms that are available to us today through technology. Like, here's a perfect example. I mean, I could just start saying all kinds of stupid shit right now, and whomever listens to this could potentially believe what I'm saying, and it could all be lies. Or it could be misinformation because I simply don't know. Like all the things that I had just said about Afghanistan, what do I know about that? I shouldn't even be talking about those things because I don't know anything about it. I don't have all the facts. I'm reading and regurgitating facts and information that's been posted out there. I don't know if any of that's true, though. I don't have any like fundamental or concrete sources on the ground in Afghanistan telling me this is what's going on. Garrett, go back and say this. It's you know, I mean, so how is anything that's being said, unless you're firsthand witness to it, or you're watching a video where somebody's holding a camera and you're seeing what's going on, you have no idea what's real, because it could all be manipulated long before any of us see it. And I almost wonder if we have algorithms that are doing that now, where people are posting live feeds and there's an enough of a delay where they can alter the video before you actually see it. You know, I mean, how would you know if you're glitching or if there's an intentional glitch being added to your video to get rid of certain parts of it? You know, it's like television. When they swear on TV, how do you think they get that beep in there before you actually see them say the word? It's because there's a period of time that delays the signal so that the sensors can do that. right? So, I mean, that's not new technology, nor is that a new approach. So that, of course, that could be done in technology land, in when you're streaming live videos or uploading recordings, they could absolutely. I mean, when was the last time you uploaded a video to Facebook? It takes like forever for that thing to upload. What do you think the reason is behind that? They don't have the technology to have the bandwidth? Are you shitting me? It's because they're scraping and scrubbing every millisecond of your video to make sure that whatever's in it, they know. Right? That's the real reason. It has nothing to do with the technology not being fast. It's that they're scrubbing your video. They're trying to check it for content, make sure there's no copyright violations, listening to the music, listening to what you're saying, deciding before it's even been uploaded or viewed what it's going to be and where it's going to go and if it's going to get flagged and all this other crap. That's why it takes so long to upload these videos. Because it used to be, if you recall, instant. And you could say, well, Garrett, now we have 4K and we have higher res. Bullshit. It's just more data. And if you think that places like Facebook and these huge conglomerates have any restrictions, I mean, they're running pure fiber everywhere. So everything is lightning fast, way faster than you can imagine. The bottleneck is you. It's not them. Right? So you uploading a 5 or a 10 gigabyte file is instantaneous to a platform like Facebook. It's just they're taking, you know, number one, you're throttled, obviously. Your upload speed is regulated by whatever your internet is to your house. So there's that, of course, there's a throttle there or a bottleneck there. But my point is they're processing so much shit on the other side. That's what's actually taking so long. it's crazy, man. It's a crazy world we live in right now. If you think that anything you can put up there is actually true, real, who knows? It's all altered. It's all screwed with. Everybody's in everybody else's back pocket. Everybody's all about money. It's so disappointing. It's so disappointing because technology is such a wonderful thing. It really is. And we're just using it for all of the bad things that it could possibly be used for. People are being so creative on the evil as opposed to on the good. Because I'll argue both sides of technology. I wouldn't be alive today if not for technology, right? All of the surgeries that I've mentioned that I've had have required technology, not just people, right? Like, even if you want to get to the basics of the tools that are required to cut you open and make incisions and be precise and do all that kind of stuff and the antibiotics that you need and the anesthesia, all that stuff is technology. So without all of that, I would have died a long time ago. I would have died when I was 3. You know, because I had to have a heart surgery when I was 3 years old. I mean, technically, I needed a heart surgery when I was born, but I was able to wait until I was a little bit older, so it was a less risky surgery. So that's why it happened at 3. But I mean, I was born with a heart defect. So without technology, I wouldn't have had the 49 years that I have had. So I'm very, I don't want to say like, I worship technology, but I'm very thankful for the technological advances that we've had in the medical field. Now, at the same time, think of all the horrible things that go on in the medical field as it relates to technology. You really think we can't cure cancer? Really? After all this time, all the brilliant people we have work, you really think we haven't figured that out? Or is it really that it's just more profitable to treat it than it is to cure it? You know, and that's really where I come up to against a wall with regard to humanity and morality and things like that, where it's like, I mean, I understand you're a business. You want to make billions of dollars. But I mean, in something like that, can't you just do the right thing? I mean, even if you don't want to do it for someone like me, right? Couldn't you help children? I mean, what kind of a monster can walk through a juvenile cancer ward and be okay with knowing that we have a cure for this disease and knowingly allowing children to die from it miserably? It's not like it's a good death, you know, it's passive and peaceful. No, it's horrible. I watched my aunt die from cancer. It was terrible. I mean, it was just a matter of how much morphine could you get into her because she was basically choking on her own body, deteriorating in her lungs and suffocating to death. I mean, it was something to see. And by something, I mean, it was a horror. It was awful. It was not something you'd want to watch. Can you imagine? Imagine that for a minute if you have children, that that's what you got to watch and have to go through. I mean, really? That's all for money, right? Now, I understand that, you know, it may not be your child, so you don't feel the same as the parent, but how could you? I mean, it's unfathomable, but there are just so many horrible people out there. I mean, I've seen so many videos on TikTok where people will take a dog, a puppy, or a dog they just don't want anymore, and tie the dog up, tie its mouth shut, put it in a bag, and throw it in a dumpster. Honest to God, that's even hard for me to say. That's so fucking horrible. What kind of a friggin' piece of shit would do that? I mean, look, I have many pets and they frustrate me sometimes and aggravate me other times. And, you know, but I'm not judging other people, but never once in my mind has gone through the thought of torturing an animal to death ever. If I ever had to kill an animal, I would want it to be instantaneous. But I don't even like to kill friggin' insects. Like, I feel bad. I try every time when there's a fly or a bug in the house to get it out of the house, like shoo it out the door. Who am I to take a life of anything? Person, animal, insect, whatever. I mean, I get the hunting thing if you're going to eat the animal and it provides sustenance and all that, but just killing for sport or for just cruelty, I'm sorry, but you really are missing the point and don't deserve to be here. That's awful. That is absolutely unacceptable. I mean, how could you take a dog and take wire and wire its mouth shut, tie its front and back legs together, put it in a fucking garbage bag and throw it in a dumpster? What kind of a psycho could do that? I mean, God, that is like the most heartbreaking thing. Why would you do something like that? Holy crap. Because the dog shit on the ground? I mean, I don't know why I went down this path here. Sorry, I didn't mean to get so passionate about that. But man, that kind of stuff just absolutely drives me bananas. But that's what you see on social media these days is all the, you know, I mean, and it's wonderful because you're seeing someone save the animal, but it's literally choking me up to even fathom. Sorry. I mean, I have tears in my eyes. It's the fucking most horrible shit you could possibly see. And, you know, that's an animal. What are we doing to human beings? I mean, it's absolutely, sorry. I'm not laughing. I'm just, it's awful. I'm like fanning myself, trying to dry my eyes. It's just so awful that people could do something so sick like that. Why would we have that capacity? Why would a person, how do you get to that point? And that's when I lose faith in the world and in humanity, is that if you care that little about life, what else, what are you going to do with someone like that? And then there's what are you supposed to do? Put them in jail for the rest of their life? And now you're kind of, it's like a vicious cycle, because now you're back in this, well, now you're basically torturing a human being for the rest of their life. Now, yeah, should they know better? Of course, but some people just don't. What are you going to do? Exterminate them all? Line them up and shoot them? Can't do that. I mean, man, God Almighty. I mean, literally God Almighty. We need your help now. Sorry. I don't know why I'm getting all emotional. This is bipolar, people. You start talking about stuff and then you just fucking fall apart. But it's just so horrible what's going on in the world today. And I know it's been like this throughout time, but here I am today. And if we ever needed guidance and love and compassion and something from something greater than us. Now is that time. You know, and maybe I'm making a big deal out of nothing, because when you pass on, maybe everybody moves on to this next plane of existence and all this stuff doesn't matter. But right now, to me, it does matter, because I'm here and I have a family and I want the best for myself and truly for all people. I wish no ill will on anyone, even the people that I talk shit about all the time and don't like. I don't want anything terrible to happen to them. I just don't want to be around them anymore and have them in my life. Doesn't mean I want them dead or tortured or suffering. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, I just don't, we don't get along in this capacity. It doesn't mean anything about you as a person. I just don't want to be around you. But that doesn't, in no way means that I want ill will to come and fall upon you. Go live your best life, man. That has good for you. I don't harbor feelings like that. I don't want to be around you. And you probably don't want to be around me either. But man, if there was ever a time in you know, that I could reach out to God and say, hey, could you help us out here? We are really in a bad way. Now would be that time. I feel like we are getting to the pinnacle of something, and maybe we'll get through it. Well, I would imagine we would get through it, because as time tests humanity, we've always seemed to come out on the other end. But at great sacrifice and at great cost to many people. But yeah, I'm sorry. Got a little emotional there for a minute. You know, not trying to be a crybaby, but some of this stuff strikes a real chord with me, and it's really difficult to, you know, that's just who I am as a person. And I'm not going to apologize for who I am. I'm real. I'm sincere. I mean, it is what it is. These things touch me, and I feel a lot. I have a lot of feelings, and I'm trying to deal with that. And sometimes it's harder than others. There's no question about that. But in any event, wow, these things keep getting longer and longer. I'm going to end up getting to a point where I clip that 50-minute mark, and I'm not going to even get to a poem, so maybe you'll get lucky and you won't have to listen to this crap anymore. Anyway, let's shift gears completely, because I'm drying my eyes at this point and I don't feel like crying anymore. anyway, or at least really breaking down and fully sobbing here on a podcast. That would, I don't know what that would do, but let's not go down that road. Anyway, so I'm going to read a poem now from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy. This book is available still, if you can believe it, from 2016. It's still available for purchase on Amazon.com. And I'm not trying to, look, I'm legitimately not, I mean, I'm making a joke out of it. I'm being completely sarcastic. This book is a joke, right? I mean, it was for me to write down a bunch of my random thoughts over like a year period of time when I was recovering from 2 open heart surgeries. It was just part of a therapeutic plan that was presented to me, and I decided to do something with it. And then when I was done doing it, I'm like, wow, my typical me fashion. I'm like, I did all this work. What am I supposed to just throw all this shit out? So no, I just self-published a book that sold like 3 copies. So anyway, this poem is entitled Come Back. I'm making a comeback. At least that's what I'm telling myself. But really, I never look back. So this is all just someone else. We never stay the same, though thinking we have remained. Instead, we have only changed, but think we have become estranged. At least I'll never know all the things I've done before, so I can remember who I was, not the things that someone does. So if I'm really coming back, then all things are what they seem. This is not some kind of hack, it's only some kind of dream. But it's really all a lie, and I will remain here in this sty, and hope that when I die, I will somehow actually die. I think I was touching on this the other day that, you know, I don't know what happens when we die. Do you actually die? Do you go somewhere else? Is there another thing, another journey we start, another life, another plane of existence? Who knows? I don't know these things. You don't know these things. None of us do that are still here, unfortunately. But I'd like to believe there is something else, at least for our consciousness, that we can go on and kind of do something else after this. So maybe that's what I'm talking about there. Yep, I don't know. In any event, Thanks as always for listening. Please check out my links if you, you know, see fit to support me in any of the other things that I'm trying to make happen here. I would greatly appreciate that, probably more than you can imagine at all. But thanks for listening and have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.